Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch my drift. Good to be back after 2 weeks off. Very nice. Joining me in the studio today, Brandon Drake. Drake.
Hey, welcome back from Florida.
Thank you. Thank you. Good
welcome,
to be back.
Welcome back to the land of milk and honey.
Yeah, and it's, oddly enough, kind of cool today. I guess I brought, you know, I can't win. I left and it was hot here. It was hot there, too. But come back and I brought the bad weather. So you can blame that on me, folks. That's the way it is. And, of course, producing us, as always, Derek Stone.
Hello.
Good to have you back. Good to be back. All right, so lots to go through today. I know Drake wanted to join me just to talk about Edward Snowden. We're going to have a lively debate on Mr. Snowden later on today.
But, oh, yes.
Let's take care of my sponsor this half hour is Aero Facility Services. Aero Facility Services actually, they've been servicing buildings for their maintenance needs since 1945, and they're actually hiring right now. They're looking for some people to do some cleaning of banks, I think. And if you go to my website, www.thedailydrift.com, you'll see right at the top their advertisement. Click on it, and you can get hold of Vicky, and all the information is right there. So it's, you know, help them find, if you know somebody who's unemployed or underemployed, have them go check that out, because you're getting your foot in the door there, and it could turn into a career. Who knows? But Arrow's a great, good company to be with. So check them out at thedailydrift.com and give them a call and see if that job interests you or not. So, Drake, it's good to be back. And anything new around the station we needed to that I need to be aware of? I feel like the odd man out coming in on Saturdays because I don't really get in here any other time of the week.
Yeah, if you're away for a while, it always makes you think that a lot of things must have happened while you were gone, and you need to kind of get back in the loop and, you know, what's going on? And
Especially a politically active station like this. It's not this is not your average radio station. There's always something going on. We're always getting into something, some kind of trouble down here.
That's there's always lots of fun, but things have been pretty stable lately.
Good. All right, well, there is, as always, what we do at The Daily Drift, or on this radio show, The Drift, is recap The Daily Drift, which is the website that I put up for you to get the news you need to know. And I go through every night the information you should at least know the headlines and be able to talk around the water cooler about the following day. So it's not the news you get on channels 2, 4, and 7, and not even on Fox. Fox, I think, is toned down a little bit. So
how about the news I get on David Letterman or Jimmy Kimmel?
It's amazing how many people go to those kind of shows for their news.
Those are major
John
news
Stewart.
Outlets.
Yeah. Their news from John Stewart. Imagine that. Well, there is something I wanted to talk about locally, and I actually got this story from County Commissioner Dan Smith. Now, Washtenaw County, the board, is looking at taking their unfunded liabilities for pensions and benefits for retirees and upcoming retirees.
Unfunded liabilities. Isn't that always the case?
Oh, yeah.
Unfunded.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the United States has $16 trillion in debt, but when you add the unfunded liabilities of pensions and benefits for retirees and past
employees, Medicare, it's $100 trillion.
Yes, it's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And every state and municipality is exactly the same, and Washtenaw County is no different. Washtenaw County has about $345 million dollars in unfunded liabilities that they want to kind of roll over into a bond, which will kind of solidify and make it a little more legitimate than being an unfunded liability. Once it becomes a bond, it's pretty permanent. There's no way to bring in an emergency manager and say, hey, you know, we're just not going to pay that or renegotiate that. That becomes a bond.
But where does the funding come from by making it a bond? It almost sounds like it's more just a kick the can down the road type of tactic.
Well it is, but it puts the taxpayers on the hook for it no matter what.
Now,
Washtenaw County went into bankruptcy, it would be the very bottom, according to Dan Smith, the county commissioner, of the list. It could still be negotiated out at the end of bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Washtenaw County probably will ever have that problem, but it does solidify and it's not the greatest idea. What really kicked it to me when he brought this out, and I didn't get a chance to speak to him very long. He had things to do and couldn't come on today. But he said they're going to ask for a little more than what they need because they want to play the stock market with it.
Oh, and that always works out well.
Doesn't it?
Especially that it's making new highs recently. So now's the time to get in.
Yes.
Invest.
Let's invest now and it'll be bad tomorrow.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things. I'm still doing my research, so we're not going to get deep into the weeds. I will make a compliment to Ann Arbor Chronicle. I think Mary Morgan is one of the owners and publisher, her and her husband. She wrote the initial stories on this. And I don't think I'm as guilty as anybody. I don't read the Ann Arbor Chronicle enough, but they have a wealth of information on this subject. So I would encourage everybody. I actually put a link to it on the Daily Drift. So you can click on it and go, and they've got a lot of information. So if you want to know what's going on, go to AnnArborChronicle.com and just search County Bond, and it'll pop up, and you can look at it. And this is important. The chair of the county commission, Yusuf Rabi, is pushing the timetable back a bit to have some public hearings, and they're doing another one on July 10th. And this is a standard step in the bonding process. It lets residents know they have 45 days during which they can circulate petitions to require a vote of the people before this bond is issued. Because right now, the county commission is just saying, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not asking the people.
Yeah, the Politburo of Washtenaw County.
Beware, Washtenaw County residents. You will be on the hook for $345 million. I mean, you're kind of on the hook anyways, but this really kind of puts it out there that makes it non-negotiable.
Yeah, it tightens the noose.
Yes, it tightens the noose, and it forces you to be stuck with benefits and pensions that maybe are probably a little too rich for the average Joe. Let's face it.
Yeah,
probably,
not maybe, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, call your county commissioners. You can go to the ewashtenaw.org and look at your board of commissioners and call them and say, hey, what are you doing? I'm not happy about it. Leave it alone. Now, according to Dan, it's funny. The four guys that are against it is Dan Smith, who's a Republican, and the three oldest members of the board who are Democrats. Hmm. Well, the old people know what happens when you play funny games with money. The Great Depression, stock market crashes, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the young guys and gals on the board are like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea. We can make some money. No, you probably can't.
Right.
So I'm going to encourage everybody in the listening audience, make a call to your county commission. Okay, go to ewashtenaw.org, email them, call them, both, and we'll try and get more information for you on this. But I think this is something people need to be aware of. Because it's one of those, I think, a bad deal. You know, anytime the bureaucrats like it, it's probably a bad deal. So, anyways,
you know,
that's
it cracks me up, too, that when they make these calculations with funded, unfunded, you always hear the number 8%. Well, we're going to assume an average of 8% return per year. It's like, how can they do that?
Yeah.
It's just, they just make that up, and it's way overly optimistic, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'd be lucky to be getting 2, 3%.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because the stock market's been good this year doesn't mean it's going to be good next year.
You'll be lucky to get negative 2%.
Yeah, wait till Obamacare kicks in and everyone starts laying off and things turn bad again.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to work. We've got Jenny calling in from Brownstown. Jenny, you want to talk about Medicaid expansion?
I do.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to say that we better be praying about July 3rd that the Senate will not cave. And there was a blurb on the Wham News from, you know, Dan Martin was reading it and all that. And then he had the Tim Skubick report. And the Democrats are out there trying to get this done, along with Rick Snyder.
Right, right. Now, Patrick Kolbeck he was on the show last week talking about it. And did a wonderful job, and kudos to him. And if you're not Facebooking Patrick Kolbeck, you should be. If you're not Facebooking me, you ought to be, because there's plenty of good information on Facebook, let me tell you. Just go to thedailydrift.com or Facebook and look up Gary Wellings, you'll get it. But Patrick had a nice thing on Facebook today that shows all the people who are eligible under the current plan. We're already taking care of the poor, the children, the elderly. Medicaid expansion that they're talking about, is going to put people on there that really probably don't need that extra help. If you're down on your luck, you're covered. You know what I mean? Worst case scenario, go to the emergency room like most people do anyways.
Right.
Or at least all the illegals do. That's something we got to pay attention to, Jenny. I'm glad you're staying on top of that.
Yeah, and it was nice talking to you earlier this week too, Brandon.
Hey, a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the station.
Great. All right, well, Jenny, thank you for keeping tabs on that and alerting us to the Medicaid expansion July 3rd. Make sure you call your state senators and let them know how you feel about putting more money, taking more money out of your wallet.
Take care, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Take care, guys.
Okay, so Medicaid expansion. We weren't going to get that today, but as always, 734-822-1600, your opinions and viewpoints on any subject are fair game on this show.
Sure.
Let's move on to immigration this week. The Senate just passed the immigration bill, and many senators didn't read it yet again.
Do they ever? At least they're being consistent.
I mean, another 1,200-odd page bill,
right,
that nobody's getting a chance to read. Number one, no bill should be that long.
Right, right.
You know, if you can't make your statement of the bill that you want to pass, the law you want to pass, in a few paragraphs, you ought not be there making a bill.
Yeah, it seems insane. All the legalese and probably all the weasel clauses, the contradictions. It's probably like reading the IRS code. You know, each bill probably reads just like that. And so who can really understand it? And the room for interpretation makes it even that much scarier.
Right. Well, there's one little item in this bill that we want to talk about now. And I've been blasting it around Facebook and whatnot. And it's this bill, as passed by the Senate, will penalize businesses for hiring U.S. citizens and give them incentives if they hire the newly amnetized illegals. I don't know that amnetized is a word, but maybe we can make it one.
Yeah.
I've been amnetized. Maybe I should leave the country, renounce citizenship, and come back.
Well, our people have been hypnotized, so
amnetized.
Sounds
get
good to me.
Get yourself amnetized. Wasn't that a Clash song? I'm going to get myself amnetized.
It could be.
All right. Under Obamacare, businesses with over 50 workers that employ American citizens without offering them qualifying health insurance could be subject to fines of up to $3,000 per worker. But because newly legalized immigrants, that means these amnetized people, wouldn't be eligible for subsidies on the Obamacare exchanges until after they become citizens 13 years later under the Senate bill, businesses could avoid such fines by hiring the new immigrants instead.
Wow. Now that is interesting.
Well, especially when they're going to be willing to work for a couple of bucks an hour as opposed to $10, $15, $20 an hour, whatever you pay most Americans. I think a lot of Americans are happy to work for $9, $10 an hour at this point.
Right.
But,
and it goes to show you, Gary, in a certain way, crime does pay. You come here illegally, and now you're going to be first on the list to be hired after you out yourself that you've been here illegally.
Well, what would you expect from a criminal in chief who runs the country the way he does?
And, of course, the border will still be wide open, you know.
Wide open.
After 9/11, you know, I just went absolutely nuts. How is that border still open? We need to do something right away. We need to put up a psychological deterrent, like a no man's land until we get the physical deterrent in there, a fence. And I knew that 10, 12, 15 years later, that border would still be open. And sure enough, it is.
Right. I mean, if you want to talk about creating jobs, imagine the number of jobs that you could create by going full out and putting in a double fence from the Gulf Coast all the way to the Pacific Ocean.
I recently saw a documentary on the wall, the Berlin Wall. Why can't we put something up that secure to keep people out?
Yeah.
Not to keep them in, to keep them out.
Absolutely. It's insane that we're not securing the border. And once again, you know, the Senate said, we're going to do all these things before we secure the border. Well, this happened under Reagan. The last time we did amnesty,
Sure. Yeah,
we'll fix the border. No, you didn't.
Right, right. We'll get to it.
And
Yeah.
Now they keep saying the magic number is 11 million immigrants, illegal immigrants. You know what? How do you know it's not 20? You don't know.
You don't know. And the real scary thing, in a post-9/11 world, you know, we don't know who these people are coming across. And, you know, if you want, put the immigration aside as far as hardworking Mexicans, Guatemalans, whatever that want to come here. You know, if you wanted to just put that totally aside, look at the security risks that you are experiencing every minute of the day. You could have Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, you name it, criminal drug gangs coming across that. We know they're coming across that border.
Absolutely.
Sleeper cell, everything being established coming across that border because we're too stupid, lazy, not motivated and politically unified to make that border secure.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hidden agenda. Let's be honest with it. The progressive liberals want as many illegal aliens to come in here
absolutely.
And vote the way they want them to because they're going to give them, vote for us, vote for the Democrats, the progressive liberals, and the Republicans. There's bad Republicans, too.
Yeah, they're going to increase their base the more people that can get in.
Absolutely. And vote for them, and so you're picking up 11 million new votes.
Mm-hmm. And in their mind, the hell with security, we're getting more votes.
We're getting more votes. That's exactly right. So, you know, the other thing that's crazy here is the fact that once you legally take these people out of the shadows is one of those catchphrases. Let's get these people out of the shadows.
Yeah, it's this politically correct, feel-good cliche.
Yeah. What is going to happen when these people come out of the shadows? They now no longer have to worry about being found and being booted out of the country. And they say, you know what? I want that job at Speedway. Or I want that factory job down in Detroit there. I'll work for $2 an hour less than the other guy. You know, union people, wake up. Working class Americans, wake up because, you know what? This is going to drive down wages. This is going to take your job away. I mean, at the very least, I'm a reasonable man. We can talk about the road to citizenship or legality, legally being here after the fence is secure.
Right. And back to the fence, isn't the way the bill that it's worded is such that it's not that they're absolutely going to build a fence and secure it. It's that it's authorized, kind of this in the future, the same type of wording as it's always been.
Yeah, it's as stupid as George Bush's virtual border. Well, you're going to put some drones up and watch the people cross the border.
And some internet.
Yeah, that's helpful.
And some internet webcams.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna watch and then we're going to get on our keyboards and report as we see people come across.
Right.
That was the idea.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Just sheer ignorance, once again, from the people we don't elect the smartest people in this country. We should be drafting them. We should go to the smartest people in the country and say, we're going to put you in for 4 years. If you behave yourself and do a good job, we'll let you out in two.
I like it.
You know, put them in monk's robes, make them stay in a dorm, and they can get out early if they perform well.
Right. Well, see, the only thing with that, though, is they would need a compliant population that would understand what they're trying to do. And that's a battle I don't think anybody can win.
Yeah.
It sounds like I've given up hope. Well, I haven't given up hope, but I'm not exactly optimistic.
Yeah, it's insane what we do on this. Well, 68 senators voted for this incentive for employers to hire illegal immigrants. And many of them were Republicans, among them.
Oh.
You know, John McCain, of course.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
The usual suspects.
All the usual suspects. And it's insane that we'll continue to allow this. We've got somebody calling in here in a second, but I think we're running short on time, so hopefully we can get them in. Well, let me go with this. One of the senators who did vote for this, of course, besides Carl Levin, was our own newly reelected Debbie Stabenow.
Oh, and she's a dream.
And why in the name did anybody vote for this woman? I mean, she did not read the bill, okay? CNS News, one of the greater websites out there, I think, is reporting, and they actually got a reporter to go up and corner Debbie Stabenow and her assistant. And we actually have this track, Derek. I want to play track one, and it's what Debbie doesn't know about the bill. And this involves the number of DUIs an illegal immigrant can have and still be allowed to become a citizen.
So it's not Debbie does the bill, it's Debbie doesn't know the bill.
That's exactly right. Let's go with that, Derek.
Under the Senate immigration bill, how many DUIs can an illegal alien have and still be legalized?
Gosh, I have no idea. I mean, I don't. How many DUIs?
Did you vote on the bill?
With who?
CNS News.
Okay.
Yeah, we got our run.
Yeah,
sorry.
You know, I'm not sure if it's one or two or one. I think it may be one. I'm not sure.
All right.
Anyway,
thank you.
Okay.
All right. So you can see totally caught off guard.
Oh, she's on top of it.
Yeah. What? What's it? You can see her wheels turning her head. What's a DUI?
She always sounds like she's had a cocktail or two. You know, a little fuzzy.
Well, with...
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably needs it.
She's probably been hanging out with Olympia Dukakis and...
Her husband probably needs it more, but yes, she probably needs it. Well, I shouldn't have gone there. That was a... We won't bring that up. But we've got Trudy calling in on line one. I hope I'm pushing the right button here. It's been a while. Trudy, good morning. How are you?
Yes, sorry I have not been in touch with you in regard to the warm meals for the Marines over in Afghanistan.
Yes,
What has transpired? I was just curious.
I have not been able to keep up on that myself, Trudy. I was on vacation for the last, for a week or so. Anyway.
You were on a junket.
I was on a junket. But yes, I did call you, and we've been playing a little phone tag on that. And I don't have any updates on that, but my guess is they're probably not backing down, and they're making our Marines eat cold meals when they should not be. But if you can email me some more, Trudy, and maybe you and I can set something up that we can bring a little attention to that. I'm willing to do that.
I would very much like to do that for our service.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you, Gary.
Send me that email with anything that you have, and I'll...
I have nothing. I've been on vacation also.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Trudy, speaking of meals, thank you for all the food you brought down to the station a week or so ago.
I missed that?
She really loaded us up.
I'll do it again next time.
Nice.
Well, God bless you for everything you do for our country.
Well, thank you, Trudy, and you too. Gary,
Washtenaw County.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Trudy.
Thank you.
Okay, wonderful Trudy. Like her a lot. She's a good lady and cares and listens to the station as everyone else should be doing. So, you know, every program on this station is doing its part to educate and inform the population.
Absolutely.
And please support the advertisers. Please listen to all the different shows on this station and work it. But let's talk a little more about Debbie Stabenow. We just reelected her. And the one thing I expect my congressmen and I expect my senators to do at least one thing. Read the darn bill before you vote on it. If nothing else, I can disagree with your opinion, but at least read it so when you do vote yes or no, you know what the heck you voted for.
That sounds like a lot of work, Gary.
It's like Nancy Pelosi and the Obamacare bill, which,
right,
you know, has turned into a complete nightmare and is only going to get worse. And here the Senate just went ahead and did it again. Something as important as passing a budget they can't do for 3.5 years. But let's put this piece of crap 1,900-page legislation for immigration together, and let's just pass it without reading it.
You know, except from conservative talk radio, what kind of blowback did Nancy Pelosi get for making that outrageously stupid statement that we have to pass the bill and then we can read it and find out what it's about?
Yeah,
how could she get away with that?
I don't think I saw it on any of the big networks.
No.
Fox News, of course, played it, but I'm betting MSNBC. I don't watch enough I can't. I try, but I can get maybe 5 minutes in of MSNBC. But exactly, why do they get the pass like that?
Yeah, and still maintain a leadership position in the Congress, and it's just, I'm beside myself with confusion on that, how that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, here's another thing that tells me the immigration bill is bad. The immigration agents, the guys that work for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, are all against this bill. These are the guys on the front lines. These are the agents putting their lives on the line to catch people coming across the border. People who aren't sometimes just looking for work. Sometimes they're drug dealers. Sometimes they're basically slavers, you know, trading in human life across the border. Drug dealers.
Very dangerous job.
And obviously, terrorists walking across our southern border into the United States. And these are the professionals. These are bureaucrats. These are Obama people. And they're saying no to the immigration bill. So when you add that to the fact that people like Chuck Schumer threaten the Congress, the House, with, excuse me, rapid protests if they don't take up the Senate bill, it's scary. We'll be back and continue with this on the other side of the break. Hang in there, you're catching the drift.
People are always
always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The president talking terror in Johannesburg.
Number of people who are killed by terrorist attacks in African countries or in Muslim countries or in South Asia far outstrips any deaths that are experienced by Westerners.
Telling the crowd that democratic governments that serve their people can help prevent acts of terror. Outside the city hall in San Francisco, dozens of same-sex couples lined up for marriage licenses. They're slow compared to the plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case. Sandy Steer and Chris Perry, the first couple to marry in San Francisco just hours after the freeze on gay marriages was lifted yesterday while in L.A.
Paul Cattami and Jeff Zarrillo were married by L.A.'s outgoing mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa.
Hi, Jeff.
The couple embraced and cried. Then the mayor brought out the license for signing.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. From the heat of Saturday night till the wee hours of the cool early morning, your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. Then from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet. Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight. Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go from 2 to 4. Bleach down your slicks, pop your clutch, peel out, and get rubber in all four gears with Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4, right here on the musical side of Wham!
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Town and Country Pools are the folks you need for a great summer pool season. They carry commercial and residential pool and spa supplies, a full line of baskets, brushes, extension poles, bromine, chlorine, algicide, and everything else necessary to keep your pool and spa bright, shiny, and squeaky clean. They also do water testing and consultation to help you fix any pool or spa problem you may be having. Shop where the pros go. Go to Town and Country Pools, 3773 Morgan Road in Ypsilanti. Call them at 734-434-1700.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Okay, welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift today. And we've got Brandon Drake joining me in the studio. Brandon, welcome again.
Hey, thank you much.
Good to have you on board. We were talking about the immigration bill. And some of the nasty things. There's a lot of nasty stuff in this bill. And something else that's in here that people need to know about is, again, you know, the qualifications for becoming legal here, whether that's a citizenship down the road or just basically having the ability to live here and work here legally, is should we be inviting criminals and allowing them to stay instead of booting them out of the country. Well, one of them was one of the small...
Which makes no sense either because the fence is unsecure. It's catch and release, and they just come back.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So on page 1557 of the Border Security Economic Opportunity and Immigration Modernization Act, boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? The text states, any person who during any period of 3 years or less knowingly and without lawful authority produces, issues, or transfers three or more passports, forges, counterfeits, alters, or falsely makes three or more passports, secures, possesses, uses, receives, buys, sells, or distributes three or more passports, knowing the passports to be forged, counterfeited, altered, falsely made, stolen, procured by fraud, or produced or issued without lawful authority, or completes, mails, prepares, presents, and signs, are we ready for this yet? Three or more applications, knowing that they knowing that they contain materially false information.
No wonder you can't read the bill, or nobody, I mean, nobody can read the bill.
Anyways,
yeah.
You can still become a citizen. Now, if you and I produced any passport or altered our passports, we're going to jail.
Unless we're Edward Snowden.
Oh, he had to go.
I'm jumping the gun. Yeah.
You jumped the gun. Yes. Again, once again, we're making this. You know, here it's an entire paragraph, a long paragraph.
It's like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? And why? Why in God's name should John Boehner allow this piece of crap to be voted on in the House? Don't even bring it up. You know, the way to tackle this is start with A. Let's secure the border. Let's put an economic package together to build that border, employ a bunch of people.
Make it happen.
And get that double fence with a trench, whatever the heck
with
it is.
Mines.
With
mines. Yes.
With the, what was the Theron talking about, the dogs or whatever in there, you know? Yeah, whatever. Just get it done, you know? Put the fence up, and that way, whatever we do with the 11 million people here doesn't cause more people to come crawling across the border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the end, will stop people from killing themselves crossing the desert. You know what I mean? We're being humane by putting that fence up.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you put up a fence, and I use, you know, I said mines, and I'm serious about that. A few people get killed trying to come across the border. Word's going to spread like wildfire. You don't go across that border because you're going to die. You'll save lives that way because you'll stop people from trying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, some people, I think, are coming across the border to get that free plane ride back, you know, and a hot meal. And a shower.
Yeah, there's no penalty for trying to come in.
That's exactly right. So Sarah Palin is warning the House GOP, and again, making my point, don't betray the working class by passing amnesty. Because that is exactly what's going to happen. Again, I can't tell you union guys that are out there enough, and you working class people who probably normally vote Democrat, I understand your thoughts, but this bill is not going to end well for the working class, the people that are here, even the immigrants that are here now illegally. You know what? You're not going to do better. You're going to compete with another 10 million who are going to come across. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all. So even if you're here as an illegal right now, you probably want to get that door shut behind you before we talk about giving you amnesty, or you're going to be competing with another 10 million people.
Yeah, because otherwise, you that are here illegally right now, you'll be complaining like we are.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We got Derek calling in from Lake Orion. Derek, how are you? Oh, I lost him. I pushed the wrong button.
Derek, call back.
Call back. Hopefully that's him right there. Derek, call in. I dropped you. I pushed the wrong button. But that's exactly right. I mean, if you are an illegal alien here right now, don't take it for granted. You know what I mean? Yes, I can support you wanting to find a legal path to become here. Is that Derek back? Okay, Derek, sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. What do you got?
No problem. Gary and Brandon, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Good, good.
Hey, one of the things, I've been listening to your discussion about the immigration bill, and one of the things I had a discussion with an attorney this past week, one interesting thing is they're talking about this five-year amnesty. They can come work, but they have no, you know, eligibility for benefits. Well, guess what? At that sixth year, when the border's not secure, they're not eligible for benefits, this is going to go to the Supreme Court. And what do you think the Supreme Court's going to say? They're going to say, guess what? You are eligible for benefits. So yep. There's another massive, you know, amount of debt coming in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. This thing is going to cost us trillions of dollars. I was going to say billions, but you can just tack another $3-4 trillion onto the cost of this thing, because this is just a total outrage. You know, I guess what bothers me most is the people who seem to be clamoring the most for this bill are the people that are going to get hurt by it because they're not being fed the right information.
Right.
You know, I mean, Derek, what made you decide to call an attorney and ask about it?
No, I didn't call. I just happened to run in. We have a lot of, you know, discussions on like political issues and things like that. And one of the other issues he brought up, and this guy's obviously more in tune with, you know, the legal ramifications of what's going on. And he mentioned, hey, do you remember the free trade agreement? And I just said, of course. And I'm in the automotive business, and we saw massive, massive amounts of jobs go to Mexico. And we have a tremendous amount, you know, the cars you're driving today are made in, you know, the parts, if not the car itself, is made in Mexico. And a lot of people don't understand the minimum wage law in Mexico is about $4.50, $5 an hour. We're, what, $7.50, I think, here in Michigan, or $7.40.
Mm-hmm. It's about that.
And it's going to go up. So why would you, as a business owner, establish a minimum wage job here in Michigan? Why? Go to Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's much cheaper.
Well, you know, I'm also in the automotive business, Derek, and we do some shipping to Canada all the time. And I ask myself every day, why did we ever call it the North American Free Trade Agreement? Because you know what? It is the most difficult process and costly process to try and get something as simple as a nut or bolt across the border to Canada.
Yeah, the paperwork is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. There is no free trade in sending something to Canada or Mexico.
No, it's a bureaucratic nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. What were you going to say, Derek?
Well, you mentioned I wasn't even talking about Canada at the time, but I used to work up in the Toronto area for a major car manufacturer. And I had to take a replacement part up there. And I was stopped at the Canadian border for almost 9 hours. I had to sit there and wait until my so-called paperwork was cleared, that it wasn't, you know, a terrorist device, explosive, you know, name it. It literally was like three pieces of metal bolted together. It was that comical.
Right, right. Well, actually, yeah, you know,
I simply lived it, so I do know.
Yeah, well, it took me about all these minutes, Derek, to figure out what Derek from Lake Orion this is. How you doing, my man?
Good.
Good, good, good. Good to hear from you. Glad you're listening to the show. Yeah,
you're back. Yeah, I've been trying to, you know, used to listen to the show quite a bit on Sundays, and then I kind of lost track of the show, and I got some time to listen again, so
yeah,
good listening to you guys.
Well, I appreciate you listening, and I'll have to get you in here on the show one time, because you are incredibly educated on a number of issues, and you're one of those guys that I'd love to have on, so hopefully this next month, maybe, you can get down here and do a show with us.
Well, let's try to arrange it. It'd be great.
All right, sounds good. Well, thanks for the call, Derek. We'll appreciate it, and we'll talk to you in the coming weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Derek.
All right.
Yeah, he's a good guy, old friend of mine from way back.
Oh, excellent.
And, yeah, I've been trying to get him on the show for a long time, and you know, some people just don't want to jump on the radio. I guess it's not the easiest thing. Even you, right?
Right.
You don't
right.
like getting in and handling the radio. So.
Yeah, more of a production guy, and I still get a little nervous whether I'm calling into a show or being on the air live. But you get used to it.
You do. You do. Well, Derek, while we've got a little bit, let's go into a break. And when we come back, we're gonna try and jump into. I want to hit the Zimmerman case, and then we'll do Snowden.
Okay.
Okay. See you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
What options are available for teachers now that they are not required to join a union as a condition of employment? Retake Our Gov addresses this question as it welcomes Mr. Gary Beckner, Executive Director of the Association of American Educators, to its July meeting. Mr. Beckner will provide an overview of AAE and compare and contrast it to a union organization. Additionally, Mr. Beckner will be joined by Mr. Vincent Vernuccio, Director of Labor Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mr. Vernuccio will discuss the legal aspects of resigning from a union. This informational meeting will be held on July 9th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Memories Restaurant, 1840 South Old US 23 in Brighton. The public is welcome. Boat for Vets is having their fifth annual outing on Lake St. Clair on Harsons Island. There's a 10 a.m. sign-in time, and this event is free to all veterans. There will also be a second annual outing on Lake Fenton on August 3rd, also with a 10 a.m. sign-in. If you are a veteran or a boat owner who would like to donate your boat and time, an RSVP is needed to register. There will be a boat ride, swimming, great food, and prizes. Everything is free to all veterans and spouses. For more information and to register, call Mike at 810-742-0173. You can also visit boatforvets.com. That's boat, the number 4, vets.com. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
I'm Gary Wellings, Chief Editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to 6 times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that, and your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
Welcome back to The Drift. I'm Brandon Drake, sitting here with Gary Wellings, and of course, Derek Stone behind the glass there makes everything happen on the weekend for the local shows. Gary, we're going to get into Edward Snowden, my favorite subject.
Yes, and you and I are opposite sides of the fence.
I think we are, yeah.
On this one, which is good.
A little civil war
which
here.
Is good, yes. Yeah. And if anyone's got a call in, 734-822-1600, your
absolutely.
Opinion is also welcome. So, Brandon, go ahead and tell me your thoughts on Edward Snowden.
All right. I have a lot of thoughts on Edward Snowden and the whole situation, but I'm going to try to narrow it down and put it in, condense it for you. This guy signed documents, sworn to secrecy, as part of the job. He goes to Hong Kong, which is China. It's like saying Hong Kong is China. Otherwise, it's like saying Puerto Rico is not part of the United States. Anyway, he goes there. The propaganda points that he gives the Chinese, I'm sure they debriefed him. I'm sure they copied everything he brought. And I know there's a lot of speculation about what he took, but we can only hope for the best that he didn't take some of the things we're fearful that he did. He then goes to Moscow. So why go to these countries that are our enemies? Let's just face it. You know, we're not at war with them, but at best, they're severe competitors. They steal from us. They never help us out with anything. They want to see us fail. So he gives them all these propaganda points. He goes to Moscow. He's in the terminal someplace in their airport. Putin, and you know the FSB, the former KGB, this is an opportunity that you do not let slip by. I mean, I don't blame the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service. This is a gold mine.
Sure.
And Putin, you know, back in 2010, do you remember when the Russian spy ring was uncovered here?
Yep.
Putin was asked if he knew who betrayed them, and he said that he did. He knew the traitors by name, and this is what Putin said. Traitors always come to no good. They end up in a ditch either drunk or overdosed on drugs. The other day, one such traitor kicked the bucket exactly like that abroad, and there is no point doing it, really. So, you know, Putin has the right idea. And here's my – okay, I'm going to sum it up here, and I'm going to let you chime in. After all, it is your show. here's the thing. If – Edward Snowden really had this moral issue with what was going on with the surveillance by the NSA. He could have gone to a senator, a congressman. He could have went to Ted Cruz or, you know, a libertarian like him or Ron Paul or somebody like that. And he could have stayed here in the United States and said, I'm willing to go to jail here and face trial. I believe what I'm doing is right. I'm not going to go overseas and try to flee from justice and embarrass the United States, put our national security at risk. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fight it. And even then, I wouldn't be thrilled with the guy, but I would have respect for the guy. And people that say he's a hero, I think that is such a simplistic mindset and ridiculous. I don't care how much of a libertarian and civil rights privacy person you are, to say this man is a hero is absolutely nuts.
Okay. I'll agree that I don't believe he's a hero either. But I think you make my argument for me when you say people end up drunk, overdosed, in the gutter, in the ditch. Had he decided to contact Rand Paul or any other senator or congressman, my guess is he would have ended up in the gutter.
I don't think so.
Ditch or anywhere else.
No.
Because they would have said, oh, you talked to the wrong guy. You would have died mysteriously in a car accident like that journalist the other day. I'm missing his name. Terrible. I just talked about it the other day. I'm a little more conspiracy-minded. I don't trust our government. And the reason he went to Hong Kong or China and then to Russia, I don't think there's a whole lot of places in this world that can't be touched by the United States.
What's
NSA,
next? North Korea and
CIA.
Iran, other friends of ours?
Oh, yeah, but they probably would have just beheaded him and taken his stuff because that's the way they do things in the Middle East. But I number one, I'm hoping like you that he did not take things that we hope the Chinese or Russians shouldn't have. And I'm hoping the man was smart enough to not have done that. I'm assuming if you're smart enough
there's a lot
to,
of hope going on here.
Yeah, again, it's hope.
I'm going to chime in one more time. Let's say that I was working at the National Security Agency or the CIA, and I had knowledge that the bin Laden raid was about to take place. And I had this belief, hey, we shouldn't be invading or putting boots on the ground in a sovereign country. I have a moral issue with that. So I tip off the Pakistanis beforehand. Or I go to The Guardian or The Washington Post, and I say, you know what? We know where bin Laden's at. We've been preparing to strike. We've got a mock-up of the house that he's living in. And we shouldn't be doing that. And because I have this this belief that I'm right and our government is wrong, and we let bin Laden slip away.
Right.
I mean, I don't think we can allow 29-year-old punks like this to make decisions about our national security. And then you mentioned before we went on the air that he's over there saying, I'm willing to come back. I'm willing to face justice. But I'm going to pick the court that I'm going to be tried in. I'm going to pick what the state. I'm going to make all these decisions on how you're going to prosecute me. Ridiculous.
Right.
You can't choose, pick, and decide. Who is this guy? He thinks he's the dictator of the United States.
Yeah, one problem.
And the Russians love him. They're loving this.
Yeah, well, the problem with that analogy is that you're making a statement that we know what he did. This in your analogy, we're betraying the United States.
He said it.
You're saying somebody is going to give the bin Laden raid up. We don't know yet, other than the fact that Edward Snowden has said the NSA has been data mining millions of Americans with their phone calls and internets. Now, I've known this for years. I had no doubt in my mind that the NSA, the CIA, the FBI has tracked, recorded. They may not listen to everyone, but I'm sure they have it all recorded.
This goes back to Admiral Poindexter, you know, the former. You know, this has been going on for at least 10 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have no doubt. And in every phone call I've ever made, I just assume somebody was listening. You know, not that I have anything to hide anyways. What comes down to me is this is a Fourth Amendment issue for me.
And that's where I can totally relate.
Regardless of, it remains to be seen what happens with Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
And
that's the problem I've got is Snowden. Yeah. You want to debate the Fourth Amendment? I'm with you.
Yeah, if he has done anything other than tell the world, that, at least tell American citizens that we're being improperly searched and seized, then I have a problem with him as well.
I could be wrong in this, but when he arrived in Hong Kong, he gave an interview to the South China Press or whatever it was called. I can't remember. But he said something like he had access to every person that worked in the NSA, their names, contact number, all that. He had access to unbelievable, that's a whole nother issue as to how this guy could have access to all this. But they say there's thousands just like him out there because our national security bureaucracy has grown so much, and you have to recruit these young people that have very questionable beliefs about how the country should be, fighting the war on terror and national security. And so they take it upon themselves to decide. I'm in a loss for words.
That's why the liberals will lose in the end, because you know what? They're the ones that are making our young children educated and unloyal.
Oh, absolutely.
He is a product of a liberal education.
So you agree with me. He is unloyal.
If he's doing what you're saying. I don't know that he has.
I think what he's already admitted to doing, it makes him unloyal.
I think he's truly, when it comes to NSA data mining, searching and seizing our internet and phone records without our knowledge. Now, I'll give you where I stand. If you and I are talking or exchanging emails or looking on the internet, nobody should look at that. If I make a phone call overseas or I have internet things going on overseas, they have every right to look at me.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in that. It makes common sense to do that. But me talking to my grandmother, my father, and my wife, that doesn't make any common sense because you know what? I have given nobody any indication that I should be a suspect. So I should not be searched and seized unreasonably. If I'm going overseas, you check my bags when I come back. You check my person when I come back. You should check my phone calls and internet when I come back from overseas. You know what I mean? If I'm going overseas via the internet, it's no different than me traveling overseas. You should be happy. Look at my stuff. I'm fine with that. But you and me talking on a day-to-day basis, we're just two regular American Joes. We should not be subject to that.
See, I'm not a tech geek, so I don't know the exact procedures on how they mine and sweep and take all this data. But it might be the case that they have to do that and then be able to pick through. So they capture everything so then they can pick through and go after the people that they need to. And I'm always going to lean on the side of more national security and less privacy if I have to make that decision.
But if it works, why didn't they catch the Sarnet brothers? Why didn't they catch
I agree.
The guy?
They're not going to catch everybody, but some very well-informed people have claimed that this program has stopped a lot of terrorist attacks.
Show me.
I agree. Show me. Show me the money.
Well, that's the end of another show. We'll agree to disagree on Edward Snowden.
We're still buddies.
No more.
Yes.
Derek, thanks again, and we'll see you all next week.
I loved it.
Thanks.